if anyone here is in advertising or marketing, kill yourself.
Anarchism is not bombs, disorder, or chaos. It is not robbery or murder. It is not a war of each against all. Anarchism is the very opposite of all that. Find out for yourself. Tune in to the 4ZZZ Anarchy Show on Monday from 12 to 1 p.m.
I think that violence can be even applied to the natural environment because we rely upon the natural environment for our survival. But inanimate objects, especially those that are man-made and are used to destroy life, I don't think you can be violent too. I think it's a lot of times more violent to allow them to exist.
2P, next primos. Somebody gonna say something.
Beware the things you mention in the interview, cause the leaders have potential to imprison you. They made a criminal for taxes to report to media, but conditional detention sent us in the room.
I pray to my Lord and Savior, though we act so brave, don't judge our behavior. Cause we're going straight to hell, no doubt about it. Violence is going straight to hell, no proud to shout it. Cause we turn our backs on the needy who are calling our name. Dishonor our pacts and the treaties, have we got any shame?
I'm a doctor and the son of Vietnamese refugees fleeing their enemies, seeing our friend deceased. Things are different to the original agreement done by Malcolm Fraser in the 80s and the 70s. Stupid lies to attract the vote, doctors are careful patients when they swear upon the Hippocratic Oath. Even Roman Polo wearing country club attending doctors got into the jab, so the gag order has to go. Federal prosecution hanging over them on the mainland is officered. If we don't defend the children by reporting, we're in trouble. Why the different standards for the different children? 1984, here we go again. Locked up in death with them, they're incredibly confused. Women and their children with themselves are too afraid to use the toilet where they will get sexually abused. Let's suppress it from the news so we get to see the truth. Asking, should we work in a system in spite of the flaws to help the most vulnerable? Or does it make it sound a clever with a government that's so corrupt and a system so culpable? They send them to hell, pretending to help, send to stop the people smugglers, but apparently they pay without tax to turn a boat back, cause that is the end in itself.
Delegating obligation to a poorer neighbors, giving money to corrupt politicians as a bribe. Security for private contractors who are barely qualified, some are beating on the prisoners inside. Tricked to the job, you're threatened, their treatment's uncomfortable, so you shoot the messenger, stopping out the treatment of a broken arm out there. Arrested for running, died, though he's under out here.
Pray to my Lord and Savior, though we act so brave, don't judge our behavior. Cause we're going straight to hell, no doubt about it. Violence is going straight to hell, no proud to shout it. Cause we turn our backs on the needy who are calling our name. Dishonor our pacts and the treaties, have we got any shame? We're on the wrong side of history, given to bigotry.
Refugees are persecuted in the country, portal savings into trips to vessels land in Indonesia. No party to refugee convention, cannot work and study, stuck there for a decade. That is why they come in, that reason you can't forget it. You don't want to sink in but the waters, do you show an interest in the jurisdiction? Also, if they're sick and swear, what about the people missing limbs where they're living in? Push it back to their city to get the whip again. Out of sight, out of mind, that is nonsense. For toddlers, not us, honor, covenant, promise. Regardless, bosses are heartless. Forgot how it started, from a beggar, we're departed. Rebellion happening, sending time of refugees on the seas home where they're gonna be arrested. Not even saving us money, every year asylum policy costs $1 billion we invested. Turn cover boat refugees against each other when the convention does not discriminate. Visa overstayers out, number boat arrivals told me where that argument is not giving weight. Said the economic immigrants are maybe, said there might be terrorists, well there may be. But you wouldn't know without the processing, and that intent was genuine until they're stolen yet lately. You will stop bolts, offer our solution to the other countries who will borrow. If they choose to follow, then you're having many countries playing hot potato with their hangers like the merely human cargo. Think we're gonna bear, what about Pakistan and Jordan? We're part of a bigger picture, tell me is it not important? Drop a warning, history will treat us poorly. We should be ashamed of it, knowing where the kids behind the bars.
I pray to my Lord and Savior, though we act so brave, don't judge our behavior. Cause we're going straight to hell, no doubt about it. Violence is going straight to hell, no proud to shout it. Cause we turn our backs on the needy who are calling our name. Dishonor our pacts and the treaties, have we got any shame? We're on the wrong side of history, given to bigotry.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the Anarchy Show. It's 5 minutes after 1 o'clock. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. My name is Linda, and I'm joined today by some local anarchist comrades, M and J. And we're going to talk about some industrial organizing and action that's happened recently, and also that has happened in the last few years. So on Friday there was some action happening in the city to do with workers with the CFMEU. Do you want to tell us what happened, Em?
Last Friday, the Friday just gone, the MUA had called an action which was supported by a number of different unions. The action was in relation to a tactic that corporations are using to get foreign labour on ships in order to be able to pay those workers $2 an hour and so on, and obviously deteriorate their conditions and make their life pretty miserable. So anyway, the action was called for Anzac Square. We attended in support. Once everyone in attendance, or the majority of people who were there, had arrived, we decided to march towards the Rio Tinto headquarters on Albert Street. So a delegation from the MUA and the different unions could meet with management and try to figure out what the plans were going forward, and how they could secure their jobs. At the Rio Tinto office, we had listened to speeches and so on, and after the meeting with the management, then something sort of spontaneously occurred whereby we had been informed three workers from a Grocon site who were in the CFMEU were fired on the spot. So those that had gone to the Rio Tinto office then proceeded to march spontaneously towards the Grocon site and tried to, sort out what had happened, to encourage those left on the site to walk off the job. And they also then proceeded to, have negotiations with the bosses from that site.
So some of the workers on the Grocon site are not unionised, and yeah, some of them are unionised. That was basically part of what was going on.
A majority would be ununionised. There's only a minority at the site, I think, that were in the union, because Grocon is quite a vicious employer, and that's a factor of the life there at that site.
So did the workers walk off, the unionised workers?
Yeah, there were quite a few, I think. I don't have the exact figures, but it was definitely from between 5 to 10 workers had left that site when we showed up. Once we were there, we made our presence known, continual chanting, tried to, encourage support from even the non-unionised workers, but obviously they are in a pretty difficult position. Definitely 5 to 10 workers had walked off the job.
Great, thanks very much for giving us that rundown of some action that was happening in Brisbane. Another thing that's been happening in Brisbane is that there's an ongoing vigil down at the Lady Salento Children's Hospital in South Brisbane. We're going to be talking about that later in the show. I spent about 5 hours down there yesterday myself. Jay, we're going to hear a song now, which you've lined up. Tell us about it.
This song is called Bump Me Into Parliament, and it's about it's an IWW song from the First World War era, and it's a critique of the Labour Party and the arbitration system that exists then and now. And I think it's still very relevant.
Great, thanks very much. It's 10 minutes after 12. You're listening to The Anarchy Show.
Come listen, all kind friends of mine. I want to move a motion to make an Eldorado here. I've got a bomb's a notion. Bump me into Parliament. Bounce me any way at all. Bang me into Parliament on next election day. Some very wealthy friends I know declare I am most clever. While some can talk for an hour or so, why I can talk forever. Bump me into Parliament, bounce me any way at all. Bang me into Parliament on next election day. I know the Arbitration Act is a sailor knows his riggins. So if you want a small advance, I'll talk to Justice Higgins. Bump me into Parliament, bounce me any way at all. Bang me into Parliament on next election day. I've read me Bible 10 times through and Jesus justifies me. The man who does not vote for me, by Christ he crucifies me. Bump me into Parliament, bounce me any way at all. Bang me into Parliament on next election day. Well, yes, I am a Labour man and believe in revolution. The quickest way to bring it on is talking constitution. Bump me into Parliament, bounce me any way at all. Bang me into Parliament on next election day. I think the worker and the boss should keep their present stations. So I will surely pass a bill, industrial relations. So bump them into Parliament, bounce them any way at all. Bung them into Parliament, don't let the court decay. Bump me into Parliament, bounce me any way at all. Bang me into Parliament on next election day.
Well, I did not look to Sydney, I have Brisbane in my sights. There's a band there called the Bandits and their tunes are on my mind. Ask me to come and join them anytime. So I'm still at the back of the Pioneer, practicing guitar lines. Outside the barrow, read the banners in chalk up on the sign. The stage, it was empty, but at the table they unwind. The summer love goes here, is that that mate of mine? And I'm bloody glad to see ya, bloody glad you're here. So let's go to the bar, get you and me a beer, beer here. The Brisbane band is cold, we'll be drinking in the valley, cause sun's a long way up the hill. And it's beer, beer here. The Brisbane band is cold, we'll be drinking in the valley. La da 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 dee da. Dusty road passes round the port, but says I'll buy another round. Such generosity not found in this tiny town. Pick a song, any song, we'll play it all night long. But just you wait a moment until the drinking's done. Jasmine is on the spoons, he's solid as a rock. He'll be on the double bass, he gets it out of hock. So let's not talk about Fitzroy, but the Bandits are on a sort. Though every muso here has had their day in court. And I'm bloody glad to see ya, bloody glad you're here. So let's go to the bar, get you and me a beer, beer here. The Brisbane Bandits call, we'll be drinking in the back, cause I'm a long way up the hill. And it's a beer, beer here. The Brisbane Bandits call, we'll be drinking in the valley. La da 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 da. La da 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 da. Well, I woke with my face in an ashtray. My guitar has not yet left its case. And it's already a Sunday, and tomorrow's a Melbourne Monday. Well, I march in no man's orders and I recognise no borders. But I felt my marching orders cross the border I was due. I stood and I shook as I walked towards the door. And he grabbed my shoulder and said, for you and me one more. And I'm bloody glad to see ya, bloody glad you came. So let's go to the bar, get two more of the same. Beer, beer here, the Brisbane Bandits call. We'll be drinking in the valley, cause time's a long way up the hill. And it's beer, beer here, the Brisbane Bandits call. We'll be drinking in the valley, cause time's a long way up the hill. And it's beer, beer here, the Brisbane Bandits call. We'll be drinking in the valley, cause time's a long way up the hill. And it's beer, beer here, the Brisbane Bandits call. We'll be drinking in the valley. La da 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 dee da. La da 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 dee da. La da 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 dee. La da da dee. La da da dee da.
That was Mutiny and Brisbane Bandits. And before that was a classic old folk song by Bill Casey, Bump Me Into Parliament. And today I'm talking to M and J. MJ, Michael Jackson. And we're talking about industrial organizing, and right now we're going to talk a bit about anarcho-syndicalism. Jay, I was telling you about across the road from Triple Z, there's a worksite, and they've had a CFMU flag, two flags, one red, one black.
It's not directly, but things often happen where people don't realise where the original flag or thing comes from, but the original red and black flag was either a red and a black flag, usually together, and they represented, the red represented a radical movement of trade unionists that believed in direct democracy, direct action, class war, anti-capitalism, they were anti-state, and they believed in autonomy of the sections, as well as a form of free federalism, where everything is organised democratically. And this movement that these people were part of existed from about 1870, roughly, to 1940 as a mass movement of sometimes hundreds of thousands of people across countries. And in the example of Spain in 1936, it was millions. And this existed in every major continent. It was a revolutionary union movement that aimed to spread the values of libertarian socialism, libertarian communism, and specifically a majority believed in anarcho-communism. And this was a very strong movement that existed in that time and directly threatened the state and capital and the major religious organizations. So there was due to the repression that was visited upon them in the Second World War and before, from about the 1920s, they sort of died out as a mass movement, and they haven't, only in some countries have they remained a mass movement, like in Spain is a major example of that. And we think this is very relevant towards the unionism going on at the moment, that seems to be going in a more radical direction, but it still has a lot of problems and is beset by reformism. And the CMFU is an example of a union that's been in the public eye, but hasn't yet moved beyond the reformist arbitration system. And M was going to talk about combat unionism, a form of unionism that is directly opposed to an arbitration system.
Yeah, and I guess at the current state of things, union membership is quite small. There are a lot of segments of the working class that have sort of are disillusioned with it. And out of the student movement that occurred in 2012 in Montreal, there was a great booklet released called Combative Unionism. Now, it talks about how our organizations, workers' organizations, anarchist organizations that exist should aim to revolutionize the existing labor movement in the same manner that our, that those in the student movement in Montreal had done. We see workplaces, neighborhoods, and schools as battlegrounds in the class war, and I guess like union halls or assemblies within work sites should also become a battleground. And I guess for us it's a way that can, I guess, use a more dual power strategy to sort of take back control of the unions and place them in the workers' hands themselves, so we control it directly democratically. As opposed to how the majority of the unions exist today, from my experience, that they sort of act a lot more like businesses, that the bureaucracy and hierarchy sort of makes the workers that, do everything, that are the union and should remember they are the union, it sort of makes them passive spectators, or we sort of, I guess, come to expect more than is possible from, things like arbitration and negotiations.
Great. You're involved in some organising, or trying to get organising, in your workplace in Queensland Rail. We might go to a song and then come back and talk about that. It's about 22 minutes after 12 o'clock. You're on the Anarchy Show with Linda, M and Jay. Today, Peter's here, going to be joining in later. We're going to hear now a song from Steve Towson. It's called We Will Rise. for Triple Z 102.1 FM. It's just after 25 minutes past 12 o'clock. You're on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM. This is the Anarchy Show. You just heard from Steve Towson and We Will Rise. And we're talking today about workers rising up for their conditions and pay. And Em, you were involved in organising stuff. You wanted to organise stuff in your workplace?
Yeah, that's correct. Yep. So on the railways, Queensland Rail, I guess just attempted to initiate and to progress the workers, organisation within the railways. So that sort of begun before, but definitely sort of kicked up a gear during the recent LNP years under the Newman government. I guess it was, I was involved and a member of the unions that sort of, I guess, you know, were involved in the railways themselves. But I definitely was very, very critical of that. I was critical in their nature, how they really only turned up to ensure the dues were collected, but really sort of shunned any passing on any information, any education, sort of that shunned trying to create spaces for workers to be able to get together, separate though from those meetings that the bosses call for. So out of this, I guess I had, over the time that I was there on the railways, I'd built some pretty great relationships with some fellow workers, and we decided to call, just starting out very smallly, having barbecues, having lunch meetings, and just discussing ideas and ways that we could, I guess, change the conditions at that particular station. I guess further down the line, and we had discussions around the ideas of creating a committee or an assembly, if you want to call it that, within those unions. So the two main unions were the Services Union and the RTBU. We then wanted to, instead of having a rep that would just travel all around this whole network like they did, we sort of wanted to have a workers, or, you know, a station workers assembly, whereby we could then discuss our own issues, the conditions that we saw every day, sort of, I guess, separate, like, well, we wanted to discuss wages and that, of course, an increase in wages. What we felt was important to motivate ourselves to the next step was to just to talk about those things we could change right there and then. So I guess this was the beginnings, or the start of some sort of combative unionism. I definitely tried wherever I could to introduce anarchist ideas, revolutionary ideas. I discussed the history of the workers' movement, and just, I guess, tried to present something different than what was presented, which was just a mirror image of the political parties that are in power. I would like to also say that we discussed earlier about the march on the Friday that happened from the workers, and through my experience on the railways, I think that we need to remember that no political party is there to support the worker. Only the workers themselves, together in solidarity, can change their own conditions, can change the society for the better. And if we want to look at all the mechanisms, all the tools in place from these political parties, from the state, you know, we sort of need to open our eyes and see that those that we think are our friends, the police, while they, you know, can say and claim that they do good things, the real overall goal is to keep us down at the bottom. And I guess I just wanted to say that, because I think that if we keep this in mind, if we keep talking about this, we can overcome the issues that we see that prevent a great moment like Friday, great small moments that I experienced in the railways. These things sort of prevent those from blossoming into something even greater.
Great. Thank you so much for coming down here.
No problem.
And
yeah, thank you very much.
Jay, it's been great to hear your perspective and some news of what's happening. And
we also have some links for anybody who wants to find out more. There's a couple of good websites. Two main ones for information, just like stuff. There's libcom.org. and the Anarchist Library, all one word in the URL, .org. And there's also two major existing internationals that are relatively small, but they're growing, the IWW.org and the IWA/AIT.org.
And the IWA/AIT, they're sort of active around Australia, and in Brisbane there was something last week, was it? About anarcho-syndicalism?
Yes, there was an international member of the, I think it was the Polish or the German section, came and talked in West End, and yeah, that was very good.
Yeah.
Well, soon we're going to be talking about what's happening down at the Lady Talento Children's Hospital, where there is a baby, actually a one-year-old, I don't know, maybe that's a toddler, baby toddler, there, and the parents are in danger of being sent back to Nauru. And I found out last night that there's actually another baby that was just born who is from Nauru. They're not from Nauru, they're actually being interned in Nauru by the Australian government. We're going to hear from the basics now, and this is The Lucky Country on 4ZZZ 102.1 FM.
We don't know how lucky we are. When the bow breaks, we'll never fall far. Mama's gonna buy you a brand new. Where our leadership is second rate. So while the world outside's got bigger problems, we expect it all on a silver spoon, on a nickel plate, in an iron cup, on a tax-free bed of gold. And this place here was built by misfits. English, Irish, Scottish convicts. But a lot has changed since that invasion. So don't forget that this is not England, that it's not Ireland, that it's called Australia. What are you so afraid of? The world outside's already here. What are you all?
Show on 102.1 FM or streaming on 4ZZZFM.org.au.
In a democracy, the ignorant and meddlesome outsiders, the general population, have to be kept from interfering. This next song features language that would otherwise be replaced with. If you prefer the beep, I tune out now.
Freedom, item, meet 'em. Where'd you read 'em? This one needs a brand new read 'em. Weed and the key. Weed and the key them to life. Let's beat them. Weed them smartphones, don't beat them.
Heard from MIA and Borders, and before that The Lucky Country by The Basics. It's 20 minutes to 1 o'clock. You're on the Anarchy Show on 4ZZZ with Linda and Peter, and we're going to talk now about what's happening down at the Lady Salento Children's Hospital in South Brisbane, and I must say there's a lot of energy down there.
Yeah, I just came from the picket, and you know, there's not many people and it's very hot, but there's still, yeah, there's still a lot of going on, and all the car horns, and it's phenomenal the amount of support that people are showing by blowing their horns.
Yeah, I was there for about 5 hours yesterday.
Wow.
I didn't mean to stay that long. It just kind of happened.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and there, you know, like, there were, I don't know, 50 people or 40 people.
No, there's been some big rallies, 200. On the weekend, at the middle of the day, they've had rallies.
Yeah, and people jumping around, like, with the signs, like, beep, beep, you know. It's quite amazing. And when I left, which was about 7:30, there's still people jumping, like, there were new people jumping around with signs.
Well, not before 8. There's a notice there, you know, like, not before 8 or after 9, don't encourage people to blow their horns.
Oh, okay.
I mean, it is. I mean, they must have good soundproofing, though, in the hospital, surely, because it's a noisy place. All the cars and the helicopters.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. But, yeah, it's very organised, the picket. They've got, you know, like, a roster. So if you want to put your name down. And there's going to be a union rally this afternoon, I believe. I think you might have mentioned that.
What time is that?
5:30.
And
it did say on the whiteboard to be led by, and then whoever was going to lead it had been erased. But I'm sure that the rally will proceed anyway. Well, people will just be there. And obviously, yes, very... how long is it going to go on? What are they going to do, you know? The longer it goes on, more embarrassed, doesn't seem adequate, that term. The more compromised, the more in more of a bind they will be. What are they going to do with this little baby?
I think there's a critical mass happening around the country with this issue.
Uh-huh.
And it's not just that they're going to send these people back.
No.
There are hundreds of people and on Manus Island and... Mm. Everyone keeps saying it is that they're putting them in these bad conditions to stop other people from trying to enter Australia.
What sort of punishment is this? This is collective punishment. This is non-judicial. They're being, you know, they haven't been tried, haven't been convicted, have they? And they're being punished.
When I was there yesterday, it was dinner time, and the Rohingya Association community, Queensland community, came down with some food. So I spoke to one of the members there who had made the food.
Well, I'm here to stand alongside of the hospital staffs, the hospital Cilantro's nurse and doctors, and we're supporting their courage, their decisions. And from Queensland Rohingya community, we think that all the children should be free. They shouldn't be in detention centers at all. So for that reason, we came here to show our solidarity with the hospital staffs and the hospital itself.
Were you here last night?
No, I wasn't here. I couldn't make it last night, but members of our community were here last night as well. I couldn't make it, fortunately. But today, tonight, I want to spend as much as time I could support the cause.
And why did you cook a meal?
Well, I figured that this is showing our appreciation for everyone who is here, you know, supporting the cause. And every children deserve happy upbringing, safe environment. And detention centers is not really the place for any child to grow up, really. So that's why we're here. And we were asking about the question of how many Rohingyas
in the Australian mainland detention.
I don't know exact number. We have roughly nearly 1,000 Rohingyas in mainland Australia.
Those ones are in detention?
No, actually they are on bridging visas mostly. On the mainland there are a few numbers in different detention centers. It's a very small number, I think in maybe less than 20 individuals. Apart that, they are in Nauru and in Manus. There are quite a lot. I think a couple in Darwin as well, Darwin Detention Center as well.
So you're part of the Queensland Rohingya
community? Yes. I'm one of the founder of Queensland Rohingya community as well, and at the moment I'm serving as a spokesperson from Queensland Rohingya community. The Queensland Rohingya community is very passionate people for human rights. They are all human rights activists. And our work mainly doing within our community about integrating toward Australian society, and also empowerment, working on community developments and empowering the community, particularly the young generations coming, and also in overseas, wherever, like Thailand, Malaysia, in Bangladesh, we're doing a small advocacy for those people as well. And of course, education programs and things like that for Rohingyas back in Burma and other people in Burma.
That was Sujadin Karimuddin, who was speaking to me yesterday down at the vigil in front of the Lady Salento Hospital. And you can hear in the background there all the cars beeping still. It's quite amazing. We're going to hear a song now by KRS-One, production by Nick One from Brisbane. It's called Keep Talking. Then we're going to listen to the latest It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine by The Stimulator.
Real bad boys move in silence. Self-reliance. Everybody know exactly what you got. They saw your YouTube video with you there on the block. Now you pop and you can't stop showing what you got. Now they at your lot trying now to break into your spot. Stop! Running off the mouth about what you been getting. It only makes a jealous dude start rubbing on his weapon. These are life lessons. Get your cash and keep stepping. Put the cash away. It could be gone in 3 seconds. No one in the hood is like my wrists on freeze. Cause the hood know we living with these crooks and thieves. Envies and greed leads men to need too much. The gun and the knife they clutch. You talk too much. You told them you need it. More guns, more coke, more weed. Now they close to you. They getting real close to you. Keep talking. You show down on your Facebook. Hide your car and your clothes and your place. Look, they close to you. They getting real close to you. Keep talking. You talk too much. You never shut up. Now they at your front door like, player, what up? They run up, you on the come up, cars up, house up. But you too young, player, you can't keep your mouth shut. I got money, everybody look at me. You still immature, the best things in life are free. But you can't see, your mouth is going with the quickness. And you can't see the vanity, that's a sickness. Trying to impress, but telling all your business. I do tennis, I do yoga, I do tai chi, I do fitness. You like to gossip and talk about society. Nobody ever told you about your privacy. You told them you need it. More guns, more coke, more weed. Now they close to you. They getting real close to you. Keep talking. You show them on your Facebook. Got your car and your clothes. How your place looking close to you. They getting real close to you. Keep talking. You keep on talking. You keep on talking. These thieves, they keep on stalking. They walk in your spot. But you keep on showing, you showing what you owning. They see your cash is flowing, and they want what you got. Stop! Running off the mouth about how you been buying it. Bragging, laughing, why them thieves eyeing it. Be careful what you show your people. It's like a jungle sometimes, and these wolves wanna see you. First they shake your hand, and your mama's hand with that thank you, man. See what you got, and then they going home to make a plan. You got to take a stand, and plan to be discreet. You quiet when you buy it, if you really from the street. You told them you need it. More guns, more coke, more weed. Now they close to you. They getting real close to you. Keep talking. You show them on your Facebook. Got your car and your clothes. How your place looking close to you. They getting real close to you.
Sunshine and lollipops, where the fields were filled with galloping unicorns. And nobody ever swore. This is a language warning. If you have fragile ears, change the station now. Sometimes 4ZZZ content has swearing.
This episode of It's the End of the World as We Know It and I Feel Fine was made possible by contributions from slaves like you. Spanky very much.
I am paying you. You work for me. You're trying to run my life here.
Wallace. You are paying me to make you a new life. Politics. And in order for me to do that, I gotta be in charge of all the elements that go into it. It's the only way I work. That means framing the overall strategy as well as deciding all the specifics. The look of the campaign. The look of the billboards. Bumper stickers, what colors they're gonna be. It means the polling, it means the ads, radio, TV, newspapers. It means coordinating every piece of information out of this office to make sure that it fits with what our polling tells us the people out there are worrying about or what they're feeling good about.
It's the end of the world as we know it. I feel fine.
Good morning, slaves, and welcome to another edition of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine, the show where the only peeps feeling the burn are the motherfucking pigs.
I'm Bernie Sanders, and I approve this message.
I am your host, The Stimulator, and despite what your racist uncle says,
I know he's crazy, but Donald Trump sure makes a lot of sense about those immigrants.
Being a so-called illegal immigrant isn't all it's cracked up to be. While the right-wing media often depicts undocumented migrants as lazy freeloaders, in the real fucking world, they make up some of the hardest working and most ruthlessly exploited members of society. Many have risked their fucking lives to cross heavily militarized yet entirely make-believe fucking borders, all in an attempt to escape horrific wars or just to provide a slightly more secure and dignified life for their families and loved ones back home. And even if they manage to cross the border, land a job that pays less than minimum wage, and stay two steps ahead of the immigration officials still looking to deport their ass.
We're here today because we're going to take you into custody and put you into deportation proceedings.
These people still have to deal with being yelled at, spat on, and violently attacked by racist fucking dipshits who are too fucking ignorant to realize it's their own government and their rich corporate backers that are ultimately to blame for the fact that they're broke, scared, and confused.
First the money started going, and now everyone's getting laid off work! They took our jobs!
For months now, a toxic fucking brew of Islamophobia and generalized anti-immigrant sentiment has been boiling over in Europe and in the United States.
They're bringing drugs, they're bringing crime, they're rapists.
Last summer, there was a brief moment of collective reflection and human fucking decency in the West as millions of people were genuinely moved upon seeing the heart-wrenching photos of 3-year-old Alan Kurdi's drowned body washed up on a Turkish beach. But it seems like that moment has passed. Mass shootings in Paris and San Bernardino, California, combined with state mismanagement of the refugee crisis and mutual distrust between European nations, have helped create a self-perpetuating cycle of human misery and reactionary racist violence.
Refugees, not animals. We are people. We are Muslims. We want what you get. Not living in Cali's jungle.
Just outside the French port city of Calais, a sprawling, makeshift refugee camp known as the Jungle has become one of the flashpoints for this growing unrest. The camp, largely populated by migrants from Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, and Eritrea, has now swelled to around 6,000 peeps, with similar camps popping up along France's northern coast. Many of these residents have endured months of traveling through numerous European cities in hopes of reaching the UK. Now, with their long-awaited destination finally in view, they find themselves blocked by French riot cops. The UK's prim and proper PM, David Cameron, for his part, has made it clear that his government will do everything it can to keep migrants from reaching Britain.
We need to protect our borders by working hand in glove with our neighbors, the French.
Yo, Stim, isn't that the guy who once skull-fucked a dead pig?
Indeed he is, agitator. Indeed he is.
But that's exactly the point, to make love to a pig.
The French government's solution to this clusterfuck has been to announce the construction of temporary housing for 1,500 people made out of repurposed shipping containers and the eviction and destruction of the current camp. Migrants seeking to access these glorified garbage bins will first need to submit to biometric testing and fingerprinting, and many are wary to go live in something that they say looks and feels like a prison. The razing of the jungle has been proceeding at pace for weeks now and has produced a barren security zone ringed with mounds of dirt and razor wire fencing that looks like something out of a dystopian science fiction movie. On January 23rd, residents of the Calais jungle were joined by hundreds of anarchists and other shit disturbers from Britain and other surrounding countries who heeded the call to support residents resisting the eviction. A demonstration of 2,000 peeps quickly escalated into a riot, and around 1,000 migrants and supporters rushed the nearby port and occupied a ferry aptly named the Spirit of Britain. During the fracas, a statue of France's venerated war criminal, Charles de Gaulle, was vandalized, causing an uproar in the right-wing UK and French press. Meanwhile, on the other side of the channel in the English port city of Dover, violent street clashes broke out on January 30th when British anti-fascists attacked an anti-immigrant demo organized by the resurgent fascist group National Front. These ugly scenes, reminiscing of the social turbulence of the 1920s and 1930s, are going to become much more common occurrence in the coming months and years. And if we're going to avoid a recap of what happened last time around, the motherfucking resistance is gonna have to up our game. Planos, verloren en Disabel, canon en futa, seguirnos entender, el lavado de cerebro es tu ideal, no lo soporto, no limpies el país.
You just heard the beginning of It's the End of the World as We Know It, and I Feel Fine. That one is called Support Your Local Antifa, and that is needed all around Australia, in Brisbane, in Queensland, recently in Toowoomba. The United Patriot Front had their first meeting, and that was actually on the weekend. Thanks very much for listening to the Anarchy Show. Thanks to Peter, M and Jay for coming in. The Amplifier is up next. We're going to hear a subscriber request for Rivermouth. This is Propaganda.
Do not doubt the government's resolve. Do not doubt that we are going to see this thing through.
If you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. If you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. If you've done nothing wrong, you have nothing to fear. We are the government. We decide what's best. Dear Queensland, your sat nav's out of date. You followed the wrong road and now we're turning into a police state. Legislated democratic disruption. Two-party system, double the corruption. Privatising while facilitating corporate greed. Funding cuts for any NGO that disagreed. Out with the old and in with your friends is fine. I hire your son and you hire mine. This is Queensland, where no man is carried. We like our blacks in jail and our gays unmarried. If you protest, we'll lock you away. You have the freedom to do what we say, but you can't trust the LNP, mate. You don't trust the LNP.
Our democracies come to this where people think that they can say and do anything to try and win an election.
Everyone's getting needier, greedier. We are trashing the environment, but the mainstream media's like, no worries, mate, it's good for the economy. The Courier Mail ain't the paper that it used to be. When rich white men get to set the agenda, free speech don't mean much for the rest of us. I know you're not evil, you think you're doing the right thing, but it's frightening, disheartening how shit you are at listening. This is Queensland, we don't allow bitching. We like our kids Christian and our women in kitchens. Immigrants on welfare are lazy slobs, but if they find employment, well, they took our jobs. Leaders of Queensland, you give the homeless grief, and you're dumping half a mountain on the barrier reef. You close hospitals and open casinos, that's where the green goes. I always knew you were trouble, and now the pot's overflowing. Are you power hungry or just plain stupid? Either way, we won't water the weeds you're sowing, cause you can't trust the LNP, mate. You don't trust the LNP.